The plain wooden meeting house of Rome Primitive Baptist Church sits next to a sandy road in the remnants of the tiny community of Dixie Union, just north of Waycross, Georgia. Like other Primitive Baptists, they take their name from their belief in following the ways of the early or primitive Christian church. On this warm Sunday morning in October, they are holding the last day of Big Meeting.
Big Meeting is to the Primitive Baptist what Christmas and Easter are in most churches.
John Crowley teaches history at Valdosta State University. He says that Primitive Baptists were a powerful religious and cultural force in Wiregrass, Georgia. The Big or Annual Meeting was a highlight of the church year.
Basically, sort of a homecoming, a union of all the local churches. And, of course, a special effort on the part of any members or supporters of that church that live at a distance to come.
To me, it was always harvest time, which was a special time of the year.
Elder Tolly Lee remembers the big meetings of his boyhood.
You see the tables, the cribs getting full, and all the canning that's been done in the summer. You see this, all the pantries full of food. And the annual meeting was the time that they shared it with their neighbors. They really put on a spread. They worked for weeks and days cooking.
In the age before cars, the custom developed that those who lived closest to the church house would host visitors at big meeting time. Tolly Lee remembers the big meetings of his boyhood as a social time, when boys and girls would come home and spend Saturday night with his family.
The boys would sleep in the cotton house, and the girls would sleep on pallets on the floor, and all the men, some of the grown-ups would probably wind up sleeping on pallets on the front porch. But us boys would sleep in the cotton house, we stayed in the cotton house. We cut up all night and suffered the next day. But the kids, it was fun time. So the grown-ups, it was serious church time, and they went for the singing and to hear the preachers.
Seated on simple wooden pews in the little church, the faithful gather an hour before the service begins to sing hymns.
When you sing, there's such a sweetness and such a peace comes inside of you. I hunger for that as much as I do for hearing the gospel preached.
Elder Clark Lee of Hoboken is a minister and song leader.
A lot of times singing is like when we were coming up, Mama used to give us working medicine every year to purge out all the bad stuff. Well, that's what singing does for me. It works. It purges out all those bad things and lets you fill up with the good things.
The slow, ornamented, surging sound of the unaccompanied congregational singing does not appeal to everyone. But for John Crowley, who grew up in a Primitive Baptist family, this style of singing has great power.
When I was a child and there were more of them and they sang like that, they would literally make the house shake almost. Also, when I was a child, they tended to sing more often very slow, modal, antique melodies that were often had an extremely powerful, melancholy sort of an effect. I hated and loved it at the same time because I loved to listen to it, but I would literally have to grit my teeth to keep from crying. It would just absolutely go all over me to listen to it.
The words to the songs come from Primitive Hymns, a collection of 705 texts compiled in 1841 by Georgia native Benjamin Lloyd. Both the book itself and the manner of use have changed little over the past 150 years. There is no printed music. Tunes are passed down orally from generation to generation. In this tradition, a song leader like Clark Lee needs special musical skills.
A song leader would first need to have the ability to pitch where you can sing it comfortably. Two, they would need to have a pretty wide knowledge of tunes and what particular tunes would sing what particular words, because the Lord hymn book, which we use, does not have tunes. tunes in it. It is a words-only book.
Each text is identified as long, short, or common meter, referring to the poetic meter of the texts, which must match the musical meter of the chosen tune.
If the Lord would try to read first and then we'll thank you to sing, every one of you, if the Lord will lead your mind and your heart. There is a land of pure delight where saints immortal reign, infinite days through the night and pleasures banish pain.
Hymn lining, especially the pitched, almost sing-song style of Tali Lee, is an increasingly rare gift. One that old-timers say harkens back to their earliest memories. Clark Lee describes how the tradition began.
Many years ago, people didn't have hymn books available. Many at that time were illiterate and could not read, so if they'd had a book, it wouldn't have done them any good.
This form of congregational singing is one of the oldest living musical practices of American Protestantism.
The minister, he would read two lines of the hymn, and then they would sing. And when they sang those, then he would line two more lines. And they would actually line the whole song that way. If you line the first two lines, that gives everybody the signal that now is the time to sing.
Big meeting services at Rome Church begin and end with a lined hymn. Then, as they have for generations, everyone adjourns for fellowship and a mouth-watering dinner on the grounds prepared by local cooks. Tali Lee has already spotted the homemade chicken and dumplings, a specialty of one of the local women. He loads his plate full of good home cooking.
I've already had the dumplings that are really very, very good. I have a broccoli and apple salad. I have butter beans and peas. I have some mustard greens, pork and rice, and some homemade sausage. And I also had some venison that's fried just right. We're going to name it Just Right Venison. I want you to know we're glad you came today, too.
I'm Lori Summers.